Create in me a pure heart, O Lord Jesus, and renew a tranquil conscience within me. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Thank you, 12-year-old girl. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. I'm being silly. That, of course, is Reverend Jen. And Hola. Faceboy is with her as well.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, guys. Let me say this. This show is brought to you by pickanexcuse.com, the iPhone app. Pickanexcuse.com has over 1,000 excuses for any occasion. What's your excuse for not downloading it, Faceboy?
I have no excuse.
It's free. How could you? Go to pickanexcuse.com and download it now. Faceboy?
Yes, Keith.
What's your journal entry for today?
Oh, I'll read my journal entry for today.
I see you got your book there. What's going? How you feeling?
Okay, 11:30. Oh, I'm a little depressed.
Okay.
Again, a little depressed. Aaron Punkin has described our relationship not as bi-coastal, but as bipolar, because we see each other like 1 week out of six. So we're really happy for 1 week out of six, and so now I'm depressed again. But that's okay.
This relationship is getting bigger and bigger, right? It's going to end up not being an open relationship. I don't think it really is. I think you guys just say that.
You're probably right.
Because that's how you deal with the heartache of being so far apart.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Love hurts.
Yes, it does. All right, today's journal entry.
Yes.
11:10:10.
Ooh.
111010, and we're on the internet where everything is translated and transmitted by ones and zeros. Okay, anyway. 11:10:10. I'm going on KATG today with Reverend Jen because it's the funnest way to promote. I'm really glad that Rev is coming. I'm listening to yesterday's show as I prepare for the journey above 14th Street, and they're talking about weddings. I really don't like most weddings, pretending to be happy, having to talk to people. When I was fairly young, my brother taught me how to get out of conversations at weddings. As soon as there's a pause in the conversation, lean in and say, "Excuse me, does my breath smell like urine?" And try to spit just a little when you say "does." Does my breath smell like urine? It works. I saw my new shrink yesterday, and I'm convinced she's more depressed than me. And then I have a note here that says I didn't fuck the homeless guy. Because last time I was on the show, on the way here, we were playing a game of That's Your Boyfriend. And there was a homeless guy on the train, and Rev joked that, you know, that he was my boyfriend. And Punkin actually thought, she's like, "I really didn't need to hear about the homeless guy that you fucked on the train." And I'm like, "I didn't. We were just joking."
She didn't understand the game. That's your boyfriend. Here's how the game works. I grew up with this game. You would point to somebody and go, "That's your boyfriend." Mm-hmm. And then it's a short game.
Well, no, actually, it's better if you add a little to it. Like, you'll say, "I see your boyfriend is working today," when he has the big bag of cans that he's collecting.
Right.
"Well, I see your boyfriend has a job. I'm proud of him."
We saw Faceboy's boyfriend on the street the other day carrying a big sign that said the world would end in 5/21/11.
And I noted that he waited until after my birthday.
Yeah. I laughed at him and he got mad at me for laughing at the end of the world. Why 5/21/11?
Why any day? You know, he knows something.
He maybe, Faceboy, you're going to have to talk to your boyfriend about why this specific day.
I will. And Punkin, he's not actually, the crazy guy holding the sign is not actually my boyfriend. I do think my shrink is more depressed than me.
Why do you have a new
old one was promoted to some other. Yeah, it happens. They dump you sometimes. Your shrinks will, if you're, you know, in therapy long enough with the same shrink long enough, eventually they move on. Sometimes they move to another state. They actually have lives outside of the doctor-patient relationship. So this new one, I'm convinced that she's more.
They could be killing somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm depressed. Nobody likes me. I have nobody in my life. That is fantastic news. I have somebody that you should talk to that's not me, because I don't need you in my life either.
Yeah, what's the break? Do you get a breakup session? You know, like,
Yes. Okay. It's called the termination session.
Do you pay for the termination session?
That's like paying with your chick. Your chick's telling you she's banging some other dude.
But you're paying
for dinner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you pay for it.
Okay. What's it like? It's not you, it's me.
I just realized all my books are outdated, and I don't really know about the mind at all. And you should go somewhere else. You're going to be better. I don't have the Puffs Plus that you like. I get the cheap stuff. We're not supposed to be seeing each other. What does he say to you?
Well, it would depend on the actual truth of the situation. Usually they tell the truth. And in this case, my old shrink, this is the third one, actually. And the first one started a new private practice. And
yeah, private. You can't come in.
Nope, because my sort of welfare funding doesn't cover that. And the second one was promoted. The first one actually, I didn't know that it was our termination session, and we were.
And you're bringing like flowers and stuff.
No, I had just started to talk about. I had just like I don't know why we're a year into it, and I had just started talking about the abuse from my dad, and she's like, "Well, this is our last session, and I don't know if we." And I'm like, "Our last session." And she goes, "You didn't know?" So she scheduled a second session so that we could have our termination session.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Anyway, so I have this new one, and I'm convinced that she's more depressed than me. And we were talking, and I don't want to go on to antidepressants. And winter is coming up, and that's difficult because sunlight is one of the things that helps cure depression. And she was telling me about this sunbox, and I tried to get out of her whether she really is depressed, and so I sort of snuck in. I just asked her, "So, do you have one of these?" And she said, "I've lent it to colleagues." So I was right. She is kind of depressed.
What's a sunbox?
She gave me these things actually. Here, you can take a look at this.
You put sunshine in a box.
And she also gave me this that I haven't done yet, which is an automated online confidential self-assessment. And
no.
It's a service of CET offered anonymously and free of charge, and it helps you to diagnose your depression status.
I don't like
status.
It's Facebook. Don't
you can
do
take
it.
Take a look at that.
I don't like it.
My name's Faceboy.
What did I say? Facebook?
Yes. Yeah.
I was talking about Facebook.
Yeah, right.
Everyone calls Faceboy Facebook.
Really?
It's
and they
not.
Do it more and more because they know it pisses me off.
Aw.
It's all right. Could be worse.
It's all right, Facebook. I mean, Faceboy.
Whatevs.
I don't want you doing this self-diagnosing thing. If a regular person, no offense, goes on WebMD. And you figure out like, oh, I think I have an itch on my back. Next thing you know. You have hepatitis. Yeah. You're already, not where you want to be. So that you know what I mean. So your head's not in the right place, and you're trying to diagnose yourself, and you're going to take the worst of anything you see. No. This is a horrible idea.
No, I'm not diagnosing myself. You go on this site and you answer some questions at certain times of the day, and they help to guide your diagnosis of depression or something.
But
like
not
that.
A real person, and, a pre-written test, right?
Something like that.
Yeah,
I don't really know. I haven't gone yet, but I haven't done my homework. But I will. And you're always talking about how we're the freaks, but I will point out.
Told you that. That's private. Who says I say that?
I listen to the show.
Well,
you say
freaks.
It in front of us. We are, but Keith is the one that shoved the anal beads up his ass while we were doing the commercial for Adam and Eve.
Okay, now if you remember that.
That's a little weird.
How'd that feel?
First of all, the word shove. You know what? Ever since I talked about I'm going to paint with a paintbrush in my ass and Rev Jen, can I be the one that shoves it in? I'm like, I place it in. I'm doing art, not a fucking snuff film.
Well, it's just a paintbrush. People take penises up the ass all the time.
I know. And some people cut off their dicks and, a whole bunch of shit people are doing.
I couldn't believe I thought he was kidding. He wasn't kidding. We were doing a commercial. It's on KeithandTheGirlTV.com. We're doing a commercial. It's not?
No.
It
isn't?
Okay.
No, you pay for ad time. Your ad time's over. You don't get to see the anal beads anymore.
Sorry. But it was very good while it was
Were
on.
They fun?
I was surprised that I was able to I think I got 4 or 5 in.
But while we were talking to him.
I was showing how the products are easy to use.
And we're the freaks.
Not was it easy to get in, were they enjoyable?
I wasn't coming all over the place. I was able to finish the commercial just fine. It was. I never did it again, so I guess not.
Did it shift?
What does that mean?
Did your penis move?
Is that what they call it? Did it shift? I got a bump.
You got a heavy?
No, I don't really remember. I just remember going, like, oh, this is something.
But did you get a halfsy?
No, I also wasn't in the mood. I think you got to be in the mood.
You probably have anal beads up your ass right now.
They might still be there. Now that you think about it, I don't remember taking them out. Somebody said, my friend was saying the other day, like, you have a ripcord in your ass. Halloween's over. And I'm like, ah.
Oh, that was my Halloween costume. Yeah.
I forgot all about it. I'm looking at this, the Sunray. It's a box that you put on your desk.
Yes.
It's a larger size light box, L-I-G-H-T. It's moderately priced, unlike L-I-T-E. It's moderately, moderate price has made it a very popular unit among the larger boxes. You get a lot of UV rays, so you might get cancer from this.
Well, she said that it might induce mania.
Really?
Yes.
That's the last thing I need then.
See, but the thing is, I understand the sunlight thing. I hate when the time changes. I don't know if I necessarily get depressed because of the time. I don't like the winter. I think it's too harsh, and people are less likely to go outside. I don't know if it's the sun's rays that make you happy, or when you go outside, it just feels good. I don't think that a box could replace the sun. I really don't think so. Do you know what I mean? When they say, like, oh, no sun is depressing, that doesn't mean you can put an artificial sun in your house and it has the same effect. I think the idea is you're outside, things are green, people are social. That's what sunshine brings.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working for my shrink, I'll tell you
I don't like daylight. I think that the stars are underrated. The sun is totally overrated, except that it keeps life going on this planet. But other than that, hot in your eyes, I like the stars.
I got a present for y'all.
All right.
This is the Really Cool Neighborhood Episode 3.
Ooh.
And I hope you enjoy it and watch it. And it includes in it, do you want to describe the Gengina sex tape?
This is the play that you guys do on the...
Right.
Low recent. Well,
yeah, we do a play, and we also do a videotaped version of it, and this is the second one that we videotaped, semi-professionally. I mean, you can see the cameraman in some shots.
Oh, I think I saw this one, right? Is this the one you screened?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I saw the sex.
Here's your very own copy.
See, here's the thing.
Thank you.
Live shows don't necessarily translate to video so well, so we also shoot them sometimes as television shows in the Troll Museum. But this one does include the Gengina sex tape, which is Mangina and I getting together.
I apologize. Mangina a man or a woman?
Mangina is a man who makes fake vulvas. Well, they're cast from real vulvas. And sure. Then he pulls his scrotum through part of it to make something called a lotum.
And kind of course, the vulva is...
The outside.
Of the vagina. He wears a strap-on pussy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a guy who wears a strap-on pussy.
Sort of a strap-on pussy, but it also uses his own testicles to make...
The lotum. Which look like labia. And so it's us kind of getting it on. He's got... At one point, pops a strawberry in there and eats it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
It's one really... of the most disturbing. Didn't Jonathan Ames shoot that?
No, Jonathan Ames was on the set. He's the only person in the world who likes the Gengina sex video.
Most people find it incredibly disturbing.
It got a strong response from the audience.
On the way here, I was asking Rev, I was like, how do you feel, if Keith and Hamda wanted to take the Gengina sex tape and put it on their site? And she said, I'd be very happy. So if you want to, but it's one of the most disturbing things
it's
ever.
I'm pleased as punch with it. I went down on the Mangina in it.
Jonathan Ames, you're saying he likes this. Among other things, he's the writer and creator of Bored to Death.
Yep.
That show's doing good on HBO, right?
Sure.
He's saying, he said this, that there's a character in Bored to Death. And what's Bored to Death? It's these guys are bored and they start making up that there's crimes or something? I'm just guessing from...
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman plays a character named Jonathan Ames who, out of ennui, just decides that he's going to put an ad, I think, on Craigslist saying that he is a private detective. And then he starts working as an unlicensed private detective. Lots of crazy mix-ups ensue. And it's a fun show.
And somebody's in this show, and Jonathan Ames himself says this, that where's Alfair's, that is supposed to be Reverend Jen.
It's an homage to me.
An homage to Reverend Jen. Now, Rev, do you watch, do you ever see this show?
I've seen a few episodes. I haven't seen the ones with the elf girl yet. I'm dying to.
Now, when you see it, do you think you'll be like, I'm right here?
I don't think so. I think that I belong to the 1970s class of eccentric freaks like Tiny Tim and Phyllis Diller. Those people.
Okay.
And in this modern era, we're just too weird to be on TV. Look at TV today. There's no Phyllis Dillers. There's no Tiny Tims. It saddens me greatly.
But it's funny that they have to make a fictional character of a real person.
Everything that you see is like Rev Jen Light. You know, she's Rev Jen Light. It's fine.
Like, I wonder if you'll be angry. Like, she does something. You're like, I wouldn't do that.
It's okay.
All right.
We'll It'll see. Probably sell some books. Yeah,
we'll,
I mean, if she's...
We'll drink a lot when we screen it at my place.
Yeah.
But I...
Surprise.
I just want to make sure, before we move on, that we cleared this thing up with you and Punk and that... That's your boyfriend is just a game. For example, if Faceboy was playing Monopoly, don't hit him up for money like he's Uncle Moneybags. Yeah. He was just playing a game.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. I didn't fuck the homeless guy. Is that
right.
What you're getting?
Right.
Oh, you know what? I wanted a little show and tell.
Well, she's I tried into, to help him.
She's gotten into embroidery, and she made me this, and I thought I'd show you.
Oh, my God.
Let me see.
Isn't that... Obviously, they don't have a...
That's so sweet.
They don't have a pattern already for this. So she made up the pattern herself. She made that for me.
It's beautiful.
I'll scan it and send it to you for your show notes and pics.
Thank you.
For
yes.
those of you listening that can't see it,
I'll read it to you. You can see it on the camera, but it's beautiful. It has
it's so nice.
Pink letters, a nice red heart, little hearts. The beginning of every word has a nice little yellow box around it to offset the pink, and it says, "I want your cock in all my holes," and a skull's in the heart, by the way.
So nice.
Very She's good. Like Martha Stewart.
Love her.
At first, he said, "Well, she went into embroidery." I'm like, "She's not such a punk," but okay, I guess so. I guess she is.
Have you guys had your first fight yet, or argument, disagreement? Harsh something.
Little minor tiffs, you know, but nothing major.
Like what?
Nothing major. I can't even think of anything, really.
Do you ever get into, I've had me with Catherine, and she's overseas, where it would just, you know, it's just a misunderstanding over the phone, and it's easily solved, but with us having to rely on the internet and then a bad connection, and I don't even remember what it was, but it's just like, And then I don't know, you know. I got married. Like this isn't working. You don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, things like that.
It's like, all right. Well, what were we thinking? But yeah, and excuse me, Chemda was saying, and they both live in New York, obviously. Chemda and Lauren. But,
yeah, I was talking to Keith about this. That you know, with my iPhone dropping every other call and getting bad reception, and for some reason her Droid puts her on mute at least once in a conversation, enough for me to know like. Hello? Okay, can't hear you. I can't hear you. Okay. Oh, there you are. Okay, you're back. Like, I know that we're going to have that kind of cell phone situation, right? With that, there are some times where I didn't mean to say that. I did. No, I did. You know what? I'll talk to you later. I'll see you later. You know, and it's, and we're not angry, like not at each other. We're more mad at our phones. Like this is so stupid. But I get to just see her later. I know that right now she's in Amsterdam, right. For a week, which whatever. But you know, normally I could just be like, I'll see you later. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm gonna see this person. So whatever conversation we're having right now doesn't matter. But when you and Kat can't have a conversation, that's your entire. Seeing you situation.
And I'm trying to get better at this. When it's too choppy, we got to find another application or something to talk to. Because, yeah, you try, like, I didn't mean that. Well, you don't know what you're saying.
Right.
I did mean that.
Right. Yeah, but you don't know what I meant.
Right.
Yeah, and that's so frustrating. And I get frustrated at that, so I don't know how I would deal otherwise. Right. Like, so far in Amsterdam, she's called me once, and she's IM'd me a couple times, because it's a little bit easier. And even with the IM, we got caught up. like that her time ran out, right? And we were just in the middle of, I was just telling her I was having like some odd sex dream or something, but it wasn't about her, but it was like a nightmare. It was awful, you know, and I was getting arrested or whatever. And she's like, oh, who'd you sleep with? And I just told her, and then like the time cut out, and I'm like, that's not what I meant. Like, you know, this isn't cool, you know? And it was just, ugh. So she's like, I couldn't find a calling card, but I'm using my credit card. I'm like, get off the fucking phone with me, you know? Right. Because she's like, I didn't want to leave it like that. I knew it was awkward and weird. I know that that's not what, you know, what happened and whatever, but... Ugh, I can't. And you know, you guys have an application because Kat lives there, and right. So her phone works there, and can, you know, you can back and forth all day long, and I can't. So at 6 a.m, when she IMs my phone, I'm like, I'm awake.
We use this application called WhatsApp. I don't know if you know about it, but I think it's fantastic, and I believe it's free.
But she can't get a phone overseas.
Or maybe it's a few bucks, but it's fantastic. But anyway, yeah, that has happened where, and I don't remember what, but it would be like you said something, and then it clicks out. It's like, there's obviously a follow-up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm fucking somebody right now. Click. Like, no, I swear, that could totally make sense. It is normal.
Yeah, and with my dream, it wasn't a dream. It was absolute nightmare. It was like the worst. Wow. Like, I'm not even sure if somebody, you know, if it wasn't, you know, if it was like a form of rape or some kind of thing. It was awful. And meanwhile, I just said, like, and I was... And I don't even think if I slept with the person, but something happened where, you know, you say like, oh yeah, and I totally fucked this person. Wait a minute. Hello? Are you still there? Awful.
How about writing letters, everybody?
Right?
Just write a letter.
And then she doesn't know to turn to the other side of the page?
No. I'm a big fan of writing letters. Because in 10 years' time, you know... You look at a person's letter, and no one's going to be like, oh, let me reminisce looking at those emails.
I've gotten cards from Lauren.
That's
in the mail.
It was letters, very cute. Postcards.
Yeah. I've got embroidery.
I look at pictures she sent me on the phone, and I'm like, aw. Rev Jen, before the show, she was telling me, by the way, I think this story's funny, that she was... taking acid, she was tripping, and she has a chihuahua. How old's your
Eight.
Dog? 8 years old. Reverend Jen Jr., right?
Yeah.
8 years old. So what is it? So that's, let's see, 8 times 7.
56.
56 years old.
But she's really like 56,000 years old. She's the wisest creature in the world.
Does she get into movies free, or half price at least, right?
She's not allowed into movies. I don't think I'd take her to the movies. Why would a chihuahua want to go to the movies?
Like All Dogs Go to Heaven, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, that's made for them.
That was a great movie, by the way, but no.
Yeah. Well, she's high as a kite, and she sees her dog change into an old Chinese man.
Yeah.
And that was 2 weeks ago, and the dog's never changed back.
It's a little weird, living with an elderly Chinese man that used to be a chihuahua.
I think he should start paying rent.
Do you ever worry that the drugs fucked up your head, or you know they did and you don't care because it's fun?
Well, the thing is, I hadn't done acid in years, right. But someone said, do you want to do some acid? And my immediate response was, sure. So... probably fucked up my head, but maybe it'll fix it. Who knows? It's already fucked up.
Who knows? If only they studied this. Who knows?
They don't. You know, they kind of stopped all those LSD experiments when it became illegal.
Did you guys vote?
Of course.
Recently? Yeah?
Hells yeah. I voted the rent's too damn high party.
Yeah?
Fuck everyone else.
Him I can follow. He has one platform, one issue, one agenda. It's too damn high. How are you going to fix it? It's too damn high!
Perfect.
Done.
He's the only one not full of shit. And I also voted on the thing on the back that limits term limits to 2 years, and so that no motherfucking bitch-ass... billionaires can get in there and just automatically decide to change the term limits so they can stay in office longer. So I voted for term limits.
Did you know everybody that you voted for?
Yeah. I'm not one of those voters who goes, oh, maybe I'll randomly vote for this person because they're a Democrat. I vote for the things that I know about.
Or even though obviously, you know, you don't know what people voted for, but there's a guy that wrote me and said, you know, he only votes for those that, people that he knows, or if he doesn't know what's going on, he'll vote for any foreign name because he doesn't want to feel racist.
Well, I thought about writing in Russ Troll. You know, remember when Russ Troll ran for president in 1992? What? No, no one remembers. No. Just write in Russ Troll. Yeah, I like the write-in option.
You might have been the only write-in on that one. I was like, what if everybody was high that day? Were you high when you voted?
No, I was stone cold sober.
Just curious. All right.
Yeah.
Did you vote, Faceboy? Are you into it?
In a manner of speaking.
Like you said, Reverend Jen, did we vote? And she said yes.
I'm sorry?
How?
Are you high?
Four winners in last week's elections around the country died before their names could be taken off the ballot. Being dead was no guarantee of winning. Two deceased politicians lost their posthumous bids for office. So four people were dead. And they still ended up winning.
Four people actually won?
Whatever they were running for. Yeah, four dead people won. This is how much people know what's going on.
That's wonderful.
What happens then? Anarchy?
I think.
You
I
have
think
no
you,
leader?
I think you prop them up, I think.
That's just like in your last stand-up, how you talked about there should be like a shitty option, like an I don't know what I'm talking about option, so
right?
That, so that we can throw away your vote. Obviously, you put it a little more eloquently and funnier, but right.
Well, to simplify it, maybe I would say, you know, you have your two main candidates usually. Let's say president, and you have person A, person B, and for person C, you write Jesus Christ. And if whoever picks Jesus Christ, throw it right in the garbage, saves us a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a third party type of voter, you know, but this time everyone just seemed like such an arsehole that I thought I'll vote third party.
Do you know that Rhode Island, they had a vote on this. Rhode Island, the real name for Rhode Island is State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. That's the full name, and obviously nobody says it. So they put a vote on it, and the people of Rhode Island wanted it to still be called State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
That sounds racist.
It does sound. Yes. Maybe, is that only because we hear the word plantation?
Yes.
Can you not have a plantation nowadays?
I don't know, maybe.
We call them farms.
Rhode Island's a teeny little state, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. With a big name. Maybe. Oh, they have the small cock syndrome. Yeah.
So they need a really long name. Right. I forgot about that island.
Yes.
Micropenesia.
Hey, speaking of
all men have very small penises.
Speaking of cocks and voting, coming up is the Mr. Lower East Side contest again, right? It's that time of the year.
Yep.
And December 1st.
And this gentleman, Mike Amato, won 2 years in a row. Is that correct?
Not in a row. The last time he won was 2001.
Okay.
Then he won again last year.
What was it now?
And Moonshine has won twice.
Yeah.
And he has a Mr. LES tattooed on his arm.
Oh,
wow.
Moonshine the bartender, who plays Moonshine the bartender in Really Cool Neighborhood.
Quest for Cameltoe, November 16th. We need fresh blood.
I remember
for this
from
pageant.
Remind people what would a guy do? There's three categories.
Yep.
And those are
1 minute talent.
Well, 1 minute talent. What was Mike Amato's talent? Like, I'd want to look at the winner and see what he did.
Well, the first year, I think the year that he won the first time, he dressed in a cheerleading uniform and did a dance to Hey Mickey, You're So Fine.
Okay. And now, he's also, people think this guy might be gay. Does that help him? Every time I've seen him do stand-up, it's really him yelling, he fucks chicks and is not gay.
He does bang a lot of chicks.
Okay.
I banged him.
Mr. LES wasn't Johnny McGovern.
Yeah, but did Faceboy bang him?
Right.
In a manner of speaking. No, I've never had sex with Mike Amato. But the first Mr. LES was gay, Johnny McGovern.
Yeah,
Johnny McGovern, the gay
pimp.
And I
didn't have sex with him either, but we did make out once at Baby Jupiter.
He had sex with one of my old roommates. I won't say which one.
This guy used to be...
In a loft bed in the Troll Museum.
Johnny McGovern?
Mm-hmm.
This guy used to be on what's that talk show a lot?
He's on the Big Gay Sketch Show, Johnny McGovern is.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's a regular cast member, and he comments often as a VH1 commentator and stuff like, you know, those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him as a talking head. And he used to, she was huge. She was in Hairspray, sorry. Forget it. Anyway,
what are you guys talking about?
Johnny McGovern, the gay pimp. He used to be a lot on this one
and
talk
he was
show.
In Hairspray.
And he was, no, the host. Never mind.
It starts with an R. What is her
yeah.
name?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, very good. So
oh,
Mike,
he's got a great video called Don't Fall in Love with a Homo, a song for the ladies. and I have a little cameo as a sleazy straight guy in it, which was fun to do. And that was shot at Mo Pitkins.
A lot of straight girls used to really be into him.
Yep.
Yep. I used to say, like, if I was a gay dude, you would be it.
Mm-hmm. I never get crushes on gay dudes. My number one requirement for falling for a dude is that he be obsessed with me. Like, I don't get that.
He was the only one that I felt that way about. He was just so fucking cute.
Well, he's a good looking man. But we've had, you know, the Mr. LESs of the past have gone on to great things. Kind of.
For example,
Johnny McGovern.
Johnny McGovern.
Eric Kirchberger won, and he's doing a lot of Sprint commercials now. Is it Sprint?
And John Ennis is a
successful documentary maker.
So tell me about the other two categories. You do a minute talent show.
Yeah, swimsuit.
Swimsuit competition. And did Mike Amato wear a dress?
I think he. I one thing that he did one year, I'm not sure if it's the year he won. No, it wasn't a year he won, but this was my favorite. He wore just stripped down to some tidy whities, and he dedicated it to Christopher Broder, who at the time was in Rikers, and at one point was shaking his ass and bent over, and there was a little spot of blood on the back.
Why are people thinking this guy's gay? Now, the third part of the contest.
I was there for Mr. LES last year, and last year, Mike Amato, for his talent show, did dress up as a girl and did a lip-syncing thing. And it was actually very good.
Okay.
He's a talented feller.
There's a good slideshow at villagevoice.com from last year's Mr. LES pageant that made it look much better than it actually was.
It's such a great show, though. It's the only show where I've ever seen a man put his penis into his asshole live on stage.
Oh my God.
And the third part is the hardest segment for many people. It is the evening wear and the deadly Q&A. And I traditionally, well, I've done the questions for all. This is going to be the 12th year, right?
Yeah. On stage together, Faceboy and I ask the candidates questions, and they're tough.
They're not easy.
That's where people either make it or break it. I mean, the guy who put his penis in his own asshole didn't win.
Didn't
That's how
win.
Tough the competition is. And he not only put his penis into his own asshole, he did it with video of adorable kittens playing behind him, just as a way of really getting the women excited.
Is he hard when he's doing this or not?
No,
right?
He has just a really giant, he's like a squirrel. Squirrels have their penis 40% of it, their body length. So,
what?
And yet, I've never seen a squirrel's penis, and they're all over here.
Well, they're all over. These are African squirrels.
You know, I'm even grossed.
Wild squirrels.
I'm grossed out more by squirrels. I see them on my porch. I'm like, get your dick out of here.
Well,
they
just
love
wait until
to
you
jacket.
See Quest for Camel Toe. There are a couple of squirrels.
Yeah, there's a couple.
In it.
And before I got assigned to write an article about squirrel masturbation, I'd written a squirrel romance into Quest for Camel Toe based on The Sword in the Stone.
Which, by the way, I did post on KATG/meetups, the Quest for Camel Toe, so you can find the information about that. And I also have it here if Rev wants to.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we just came here to shamelessly promote our asses off and for no other reason.
Anyone want to read the description?
What's this the description to?
For Quest for Camel Toe.
I get lost sometimes. I'll just talk about dicks and asses, and this guy's not a girl and a guy.
We could talk about, I definitely want, and please, men, if you're listening, come and be a candidate in Mr. Lower East Side. We need dudes. We need fresh blood. It's not that stressful. The women behave like it's the Roman Colosseum, but
it's a lot of fun.
It's fun
there
if you win.
There was a Time Out New York reporter that came one year, and they put a video up on the Time Out New York site about his experience competing in the Mr. Lower East Side pageant.
Yeah,
and
he lost.
And what you have in your head right now, Keith, is a description for the next video that's coming out, and they're going to be screening it?
It's
this is a live show.
Oh, it's a live show.
With some video segments interwoven into it.
I apologize.
It.
All right. So if people want to go to these two things, where would they go?
Bowery Poetry Club.
Okay.
The Really Cool Neighborhood, Episode 5, Quest for Camel Toe, will be November 16th at 10 p.m. at Bowery Poetry Club. And the Mr. LES is December 1st, also at Bowery Poetry Club, also 10 p.m.
Perfect. By the way, speaking of squirrels, Rev Jen just did an article for Penthouse. Did you know that squirrels masturbate?
No.
They orally masturbate.
They orally masturbate. They suck themselves off.
Mm-hmm. While they also use their little quick squirrel hands to jack. So
wow.
Their little quick squirrel
They blow themselves while also...
Oh, my God. They're disgusting.
No, what? That's if men lover. Could do it, they'd do it all day long.
I don't do it on your porch.
You wouldn't even have a radio show. You'd be in your room blowing yourself.
Blowing myself and digging through people's garbage.
Shoving anal beads in your ass.
They're animals.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my Lord.
They are animals.
If you start thinking about all this stuff, it does make you want to be a vegetarian. Like, how can you... How can't the animals be thinking? You know, how can't they be thinking creatures if they're blowing themselves?
It makes me want to be a vegetarian more. I don't want to take the life of any creature that can blow itself. That's got to be a fantastic life.
Keith will never eat squirrel again.
It's making me think.
I was going to go fry up some squirrel today, but nope. Now that I found out they can blow themselves, I don't want to cut that life short.
But Keith is going, you're saying, how could you, you know, obviously these are thinking creatures if right. they're going to be jerking off. I think that's the most primal thing you can do. I don't know how much thinking you're doing while you're jerking off.
No, here's why they do it. This woman studied squirrels for 2,000 hours in Africa, and she had a few at first she thought, I guess they just do it because they're horny, right? But then she found out that the squirrels that had sex the most... actually masturbated the most. So it wasn't like the squirrels who weren't getting none were masturbating. What she came to her final conclusion was that they do it because it's a way of cleaning the genitals so that they're less likely to get squirrel STDs.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How did she know about squirrel STDs?
Well, first of all, everyone gets STDs.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Wait, you can't just say that like everybody knows that. I didn't know that.
Squirrels get STDs. Anyone who has sex can get an STD.
She's explaining STDs the way Penn and Teller explained why the Bible is stupid. The Bible's stupid on the next bullshit. Yeah. Hey, how can you believe this bullshit? The end.
Well, so they clean the outside parts with their little hands, and then as they ejaculate, the insides get cleaned out.
Do they spit or swallow?
They swallow.
They do?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They swallow. Oh,
but they're nutrients. Doing it for cleaning?
Nutrients. You know, they don't just eat nuts, those squirrels.
They suck them. Right. Suck their own. Oh, my Lord. But yeah, I know, like, if I'd be flipping through Penthouse and I'm jerking off, I want to read about squirrels masturbating.
Yep.
Is that how you found out about this?
That's how I learned about it.
You were flipping through Penthouse?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my friend Reverend Jen wrote a little article about masturbating squirrels.
They had an article in last month about the fact that bats give each other fellatio.
Oh, my Lord. Everybody's just sucking each other off in the animal kingdom. No wonder they don't get anything done.
Yeah.
But imagine somebody studying us. Well, that guy just... He just... slept with that person, and now he's going and sleeping with that person, but this person never slept with anyone at all.
Pumpkin is asking, are any of these people, bless you, your boyfriend, that's in the LES contest? The guy that sticks his penis in the ass, any of these?
No, they're not my boyfriend, Pumpkin. Right.
That would be something if people did study us. They're like, these humans fuck their own asshole. But not for pleasure, for show.
Squirrels are probably making little movies we don't even know about. They're like, and then they put this strange latex thing on the penis. Why?
I went to the sex museum and fucking blew, and not in a good way.
Right.
The sex museum, part of it, and I guess they switch it all the time, but a pretty decent part of it was just you get to see clips of videos of the why am I losing all my words today? Celebrity porns that they put out. Like the supposed, oh, how did this get out? Right. And they're playing like little clips of them on different TVs. That's one of the things that you could see in the sex museum. Museum for Sex, this is what they're showing me.
It's pricey, too. There should be people just fucking on the floor of the sex museum if they're going to pay $20.
Yeah,
you know?
And you don't really learn that much. At least 20?
Yeah, it's like $20.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
I heard the word museum. Hey, you want to go check out the sex boring? No, I don't. No, I do not.
Well, our friend was Henry Faulkner had a great stand-up bit where he said, I don't want my sex in a museum. You know what I mean? Like, don't want it on the walls. You want it in your bed or in your kitchen or on the floor or mattress or back of a truck. Or
how's dating going now for you, Rev?
It's going.
What's going on?
Well, I don't date that much. I'm so busy.
Who was that? You had a dude over your house.
Yeah, I had a house guest.
What's his name? Cum Lord? Do you know what I mean?
Cum Lord.
Like, did he have a normal name?
Yeah, he doesn't normally. Okay. I don't want to say it, but I could talk a little bit about him.
Sure.
Call him Billy.
Let's just call him Billy.
What'd Billy do?
Billy behaved a little bit like Charlie Sheen did when he checked into the Plaza.
Because you demanded $12,000 up front.
I really should have. He was not exactly an ideal house guest, let's just put it that way.
Now, are you guys dating?
No. I fooled around with him last December when he was in town. We went to high school together. He didn't know I existed back then, as most people didn't in my high school.
Aww.
Probably because I didn't go to school that much when I was in high school. But then he, so we fooled around last December. He seemed all right. And then when he showed up this time, he was just totally out of control.
So he's staying with you for like 5 days.
Yeah.
And you guys are sleeping with each other.
Yeah, you're having sex.
Kind of. We did a few times. But then at one point, I had to wake up for work the next day. He snuck out of my apartment. Well, not snuck out. I guess he said to me, even though I was passed out cold, I'm leaving. I'm going out. And went out with one of my friends, and apparently they picked up a couple...
With Mangina, right?
Yeah, with Mangina, who's always trouble. I love him, but he's trouble. And they picked up a couple grenades.
they're out picking up grenades. You're in bed, totally DTF.
Naked, happy, sleeping. Huh. I guess that's not good enough for some people. Gotta go pick up a grenade, come home, make a mess of my apartment, break two of my Italian wine glasses.
He painted, she was telling me this, he painted over, I guess he's high or something.
Not over it, but he painted on the back of a canvas, but still.
Something
keep
that you drew.
Keep your fucking hands off my canvas.
I'll use the back. Can you imagine you look at a Van Gogh, the back of it?
I'll use the back, right? No one's painting on this. Pumpkin will have, Pumpkin's hot for you. She'll be in town soon.
Yeah, I know, but I've said before, I'm kind of a has-been.
Yep.
What's that?
No longer goes with women.
I mean, I like cock. Not though, but I don't like a lot of men. Most men are totally repugnant and a waste of time. But I do like cock.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. They're repugnant and a waste of time, but they've got them cocks.
So the guy didn't bring the grenade over to your house,
fuck
though,
no,
right?
I mean,
he just, he only told you about it.
Yeah, he came back and said, oh my God, I was with this girl. She started biting me. At first, I thought it was a little bit kinky. I'm like, why the fuck are you telling me this?
Right. Are people confused by you sometimes? Like, could he be thinking, you're so out there. And
open
and out of control. Keith Malley calls you a freak, for God's sakes.
Right.
And they go, hey,
he's
look.
He's got anal beads in his ass.
Right. I can tell. This isn't about me. I can tell. Rev Jen, anything. We're all sexual animals. I went out and I fucked somebody else. Isn't that funny, honey?
He didn't fuck her. She started biting him and he got freaked out.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not monogamous. I don't want to be. I don't really ever want to be. But if you're with me for 5 days, or four nights, can't you just spend a night sleeping next to me? Like, is that too much to ask? It just seemed like a decent thing to do.
You could be a fun girl. You're still human.
Exactly. I still need to sleep and go to work in the morning, you know?
Is it more offensive when a guy cheats on a girl or whatever the word is in this case, but it's with a grenade?
Yeah, if he was like, I met Angelina Jolie and fucked her brains out, I'd high-five him.
You'd be like, well, what am I going to do?
I'd high-five him. I'd be like, good for you. No, it was just more the rudeness, you know, in the Charlie Sheen behavior. Didn't please me at all. But no. So non-monogamy doesn't bother me. But
and you were telling me you sent him an email saying, hey, this is all the things you did wrong. It's out of control.
Just detailing, like, this is not the way. I mean, he did buy me a 36-pack of Budweiser, so that was pretty cool. And I sold the weed he left in my apartment for like $100. So
you know. You know somebody's listening going, so what are you complaining about? A couple glasses, your art, fucking other people. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, I mean, I did make a profit off of it in the end.
So this is funny. So she emails, just makes a list of everything, you know, really complaining. Probably takes a while, like, I should just let it go. No, I can't. I'm stewing. Writes an email. What does he write back?
Well, here's the thing. I wrote the email because if you're angry, you should tell someone why you're angry. I'm not a passive-aggressive person. I just tell people honestly what I think of what they did. And his response was, I'm sorry I drove you so crazy. What the fuck?
That's infuriating. I don't know why, but I feel like he put it on you. That's
why. He didn't say, I'm sorry for fucking this grenade, trying to fuck this grenade while you were DTF.
If something in your head, Reverend Jen, made you upset,
right.
I am sorry that you're chemically imbalanced.
I mean, I did storm out of Bowery Poetry Club and leave him there, and a friend of mine was in town, and we were like, let's just go get a slice of pizza. And I was kind of a bitch that night. But it was post picking up the grenade.
Right.
And so that was kind of mean. And he called me all night. You know, finally, I had my phone off 7 a.m. I went, my phone's vibrating. 7 a.m. And he's like, where are you? I came in to like, if you check out the pictures of what Charlie Sheen did to the Plaza on TMZ, where he, like, didn't make his bed. Like, I guess that's what the fucking Plaza was complaining about, because it looked like nothing to me.
Yeah, I don't know what I was looking at. I'm like, I think that's the leg of a chair that's on its side.
Mm. Yeah, maybe he knocked a chair over. Maybe he didn't make his bed. This was, like, 1,000 times worse. And I live in a tiny apartment with a very sweet roommate.
Were all the troll elves, the troll dolls, still up? Were they okay?
No.
Really?
Some trolls were down.
Oh. Oh. And then he writes, you sorry if you were upset?
Yeah.
You're not. She has a museum. She has a troll boring in her house.
Yeah.
And this guy's just going through it willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Balls. Yeah, I hate that sorry, you know?
Yeah.
I am sorry if you felt put out.
Just say, I'm sorry I acted like a fucking douchebag drug addict. That's all you need to say.
MJG is saying you shouldn't have stolen Billy's watch.
Oh, if only.
Hey, listen to this. The Nintendo, the creators of Donkey Kong, are trademarking, or trying to, the phrase "unlike Donkey Kong." They're saying it's theirs. You know when you say it, you know how we all say it. Like right before he's gonna fuck that grenade, he's like, "It's unlike Donkey Kong."
I don't think they can do that. I don't think they made that up, but they did make up Donkey Kong.
Well, I mean, that grenade, it probably ended up looking like Donkey Kong. But still. The makers of the classic video game franchise have filed a request with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to trademark the pop culture phrase, "It's on like Donkey Kong." Nintendo claims the catchphrase, quote, is an old popular Nintendo phrase that has a number of possible interpretations depending on how it's used. I think there's only one interpretation, and that's, it's on.
Yeah.
In addition to Nintendo's use, it has been used in popular music, television, and film over the years, pointing to Donkey Kong's status as an enduring pop culture icon and video game superstar.
They might get it just because Donkey Kong is theirs.
They're going to get it, I think, because of, you know, when you set precedent. For example, Hitler was able to trademark chilling like a villain. So if you go by that, and the Peanuts own Down Like Charlie Brown, Uncle Ben, it's like white on rice. Then I don't know who owns Yippee-Ki-Yay, motherfucker, but
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis might own it. Oh,
wow, we've both seen too many Die Hard films.
Yeah, I think so.
They're great films.
I mentioned this in the past, India, and it's a horrible country. And the more news I hear about it, India seems to be the worst. I mean, you have Iran and Iraq, don't get me wrong, but to me, like, India just, you wouldn't even say backwards. Nothing's going on.
How can you fucking say that? They're our greatest ally.
More cell phones than toilets.
They have more. So listen to this.
In terms of that, like,
I know it's fun for Reverend Jen to be there and see a 8-year-old girl marry a frog so that the village doesn't get evil spirits. I know that's fun to you. But to me, that's just sick backwoods bullshit. And the country's never going to take off. It's horrible. When they say one world, I hope not. I hope we're nothing like India.
You better stop ripping on them. They got 1.2 billion people that could be over here in Queens looking for you.
But only 1/4 of them are witches. So I'm not scared of all of them. I mean, this is some weird shit they got going.
I love India, and I love Indian men.
Yeah?
They're beautiful. Really? Yeah.
How they smell?
They smell fucking fantastic.
Do they?
And they know how to...
Oh, my God.
What? That's horrible
to say?
They know
how to knock the boots, yeah.
People smell
Indian
different...
Indian men are great in bed.
Different races smell differently.
I have never been with an Indian guy. How many Indian men have you been with?
A lot.
And they're good in bed.
They're fantastic in bed. They're the best lovers I've ever had.
Because they're doing that Bollywood shit, right?
That
right
sounds
leg over.
Nothing like... That's matching. No? Ole, ole. You were just doing the Princess Cruises fucking...
That was Indian night. We had curry on the Lido night. Deck.
Oh, my God.
You gotta stop ripping on India. They're a democracy. Yeah. They're 1.2 billion. There are a lot of people who are far more fucked up. And as I was watching a summit yesterday on CSNBC while I was at the gym, their best and brightest are...
Cows.
Many of their best and... Cows are best and brightest. Many of their best and brightest are working on helping solve the poverty problem.
Maybe quit fucking so much. You just told me how many people there are over there.
Well, there's a lot of... There's too much fucking all over the world. Not too much fucking, too much not using condoms all over the world.
But I'm eating okay.
Well, their best and brightest are working to solve the poverty problems over there.
Their best and brightest. They still carry things on their heads.
To try to have a fucking...
That's real smart.
...democracy with that many people isn't easy. I mean, we're not doing a great job of it over here. And we have far less people.
Something tells me there's a new gripe today, though, Keith. What's happening?
Well, no, it's not a gripe. It's just that everything's fucking ridiculous. Do you know, we just said this the other day. Do you know that the people that clean the public toilets do it with their hands? Now, how about their best and brightest work on a scrub brush and tidy bowl? How about that, for starters? Bare hands, $4 a month they get paid. They want better conditions. Gloves is better conditions to them. My God.
If you can figure out a way to help 1.2 million people live in a democracy, they just don't have their
shit together. You have we mentioned it before about the bad plumbing or lack of plumbing that they have, and we said, and then there's some kind of cell phone store, and I said, I bet they have more cell phones than the toilets. Everybody laughed at me, called me an idiot. Person just sent me an email right now of a United Nations study. They have more mobile phones than toilets. More people have mobile phones than toilets. India's mobile subscribers totaled 563.7 million at last count, enough to serve nearly half of the country's 1.2 billion population. But just 366 million people, about a third of the population, compared to a half with cell phones, had access to proper sanitation.
Well,
this is in 2008. It's not getting any better.
We probably have more cell phones than toilets in America.
Not everyone has their own toilet.
Yeah. There are families that share a toilet. There are roommates that share a bathroom.
But if you fill out...
everyone has their own cell phone.
If you filled out a study...
You know what? That's a good point, Keith. We are two people with phones and one bathroom.
So if
here in this household.
Okay.
More cell phones than toilets.
If Henda filled out a study from the census and it said, do you have a toilet? She would go, no, but my roommate does. Oh, they don't give you extra room to write that? No, she has a toilet.
The census doesn't ask you.
I have a toilet and she has a toilet.
The census doesn't ask you if you have a toilet.
Because it's America. You don't have to. Of course you do. Do you breathe?
Worked as a census worker, remember.
Right.
We don't ask about toilets cell phones.
There's no reason to. And if you said, hey, I'm in this house, this is embarrassing, but I have to use your toilet, are you shocked when they go, yeah, I don't have one, this is embarrassing? No, of course everybody has one.
Yeah.
Except some hoarders that can't use theirs anymore.
Oh. Can your mom use her toilet?
Yes.
Oh, man. That show keeps going, right? And they actually, you know, I was thinking, you know what? I think I've seen it all, you know?
And they get worse ones.
They get worse ones. one day there's going to be a dead body underneath
it.
Oh,
Christ.
And they won't even know. Like, Johnny was missing since age 7, and they're going to find Johnny's body, and then, but like, underneath two piles of the milk carton where his face was on, like,
yes,
Johnny's right missing.
Right next to Uncle Bad Touch.
Are you still watching the show?
I can't that much. I get nightmares.
Okay. It's incredible.
Sometimes I do.
NJG is trying to pick on the study, saying the study says proper sanitation, not your own toilet. Okay, then what are you picturing? A fucking hole? Like something so nasty they almost shouldn't have their toilet. Just because you put rocks in a circle doesn't mean you have a toilet. You know what I mean?
Oh, come on. You walk down around the Lower East Side any Friday night, there's about 100 men using Ludlow Street as a urinal. We're ripping on India. Not cool.
Not cool at all.
No, there are a lot of... They're a great, great culture.
They're the best. When are you going there?
I don't even hardly have money to take the subway, so not anytime soon.
A Pittsburgh man accidentally sent fire to his house while burning pictures of his former flame. No pun. The 33-year-old man and his current girlfriend, so he's doing this with his girlfriend, were in their house when the blazing snapshots ignited other objects. Police saying it appeared from speaking to him that he was burning some of his memories of a past girlfriend.
Is this not stupid? Do you not know how burning things burn?
You know who did it. It was a new girlfriend saying, you burn the ex's shit, and I'm going to watch. You know, he didn't do it by himself with a bottle of Jack. It was with his new girlfriend. She wanted it done. And she's like, Morvis, she's pouring that fluid extra. Fuck you.
But where are you putting it into it when you're, you know, you light a picture on fire.
Right.
Don't you put it somewhere.
You put it on the futon where you used to fuck the ex, because that has to go too.
Don't they know stop, drop, and roll? Throw a fucking blanket on?
Was there gasoline used? Because I feel like these people sound that stupid. I'm going to need gasoline for this.
I think it's funny that the ex-girlfriend now knows about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just funny to me. Like, yeah, you can't get rid of me. Gotcha. Fuck you. An 85-year-old man in Iowa is blowing off state officials who want to clear their books by having him claim $1.6 million in cash and $447,000 worth of stocks that he failed to collect over the years. He knows the almost $2 million, right? Or over $2 million. He knows the money's there, says the state treasurer. It seems to be a situation of him not wanting to be bothered. So you know what a pain in the ass it is when if you give your friend a check for $100 for something and he won't cash it. It's like, just fucking cash it. You're not doing me a favor not cashing it. This is $2 million. It's like, it would really help us balance shit if you would take your $2 million. And he's like, fuck you. Just fuck you. Why do I gotta mess around with the government? Like, it's $2 million. Is it? Are you going to shit on my face? I don't trust the government. Like, I don't even know what he's doing. Or he's just laughing like, I know I have $2 million and it's bothering you.
Is he single?
Not now. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? This is why a lot of my checks get done online. Because as soon as you place the amount online, it takes it away from your checking account. And then you don't have to worry about it. Because I used to look at my checking account and just do math all the time. Well, it looks like I have this amount. But honestly, like, I really just have, like, you know, $53.
Maybe
you know?
There's new rules, though. I mean, I'm trying to think. It's been a while since we wrote a $2 million check. But I assume you have to do something special, not go through Citibank online. You probably have to show up and actually sign something. That's what I'm going to guess.
Wow.
But I bet there's something missing. Like, this, you could talk to this guy and somebody from the Treasury and probably mediate this very easily. But I bet it's like, just ask nicely. Do you want your money? Just take your money. All you got to do is ask nicely. It's money for you. Do you want it? Fuck you.
Well, that's the thing. If somebody doesn't cash our checks, it just sits there.
Right.
And I don't have the money, and you don't have the money.
No one
will. And so it's like, just fucking send it back. Send it back so I can deposit it in my account.
A crook who stole food from a restaurant delivery man in Massachusetts liked it so much that he went back to the eatery for seconds. It's not clear if he wanted to pay that second time, but employees recognized him and held him for the cops. It is hard. It's hard to find a good place. For New York City having everything, I can only think about three places, especially open late, that are fantastic. You find a place you like, you're in.
You know what's fun to do? If you're at a restaurant and you didn't really get that good of a service.
Dine and dash?
No, no, fake dine and dash, because I don't want to go to jail. So the check comes, you pay the full amount, you leave a tip, and then you just fucking book. You just run. And they chase you down the street. They're like, hey, you didn't pay! Hey, slaughter! Hey! And you're like, what? I'm just running. I paid the bill. What are you talking about? The fuck?
Come back with me inside and we'll look. No.
Take a look. Pay my bill.
You take a look.
I accidentally dined and dashed one Halloween, and I was wearing a monkey costume at the time. So they caught me.
Oh, it makes it. I thought it'd make it harder. It was not on like Donkey Kong.
I was on the median strip on Delancey. I just forgot to pay for my grilled cheese, and they like follow me out. Oh, you forgot. Oh, I'm sorry. I think at that point it became obvious I wasn't trying to steal my lunch, but
you didn't go like I'm a monkey.
I should have gone.
I did that as Elmo. You should have taken your paws and be like, why would a monkey have money? Look for pockets.
I could have just monkeys masturbate too.
They're sucking off your tail. There's this place in Arizona, Chandler, Arizona. It's called the Heart Attack Grill. And it prides itself on serving huge helpings of high-calorie foods. That's funny that that's kind of a thing. Like, everybody's being healthier, but you have these shows, you know. It's like, we're going, what's that, Dives, Diners, and Bullshit?
Oh, there's man versus food.
I mean, it really
man
is
man versus
like,
food is worse. Diners, Dives, and whatever is like, here's your local shit box, but they actually serve good food. It is a heart attack every time,
right.
You know, but it's somebody's favorite. But there's starting to be commercials for this one place who finds the biggest hamburger and right. And I can't even watch the commercial. It's so gross. The guy actually has a hamburger. If you put out your hands, that's the size of the hamburger,
right.
You know, and he actually takes it, picks it up, and like puts it in his mouth. And I actually turn away from the TV. It's so gross to me.
Well, there's this this place is offering free portions, free, of its jumbo fast food dishes to diners weighing more than 350 pounds.
That's because they need more than one portion, so it's just the first portion. You know, it's like the appetizer for free.
I hope they have a vomitorium next door.
That's awful.
We are becoming Rome.
My favorite new TV show, have you seen this? Pawn Stars. It's on the History Channel.
They're in a pawn store, obviously.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
It's a family.
Yeah, it's a family. And I was trying to figure out what it is that I like about this show. And I was trying to tell myself that it's because you learn a little bit about history during and that there are these interesting interpersonal reactions. And then my friend Gabriella said, Face, it is another show that highlights desperation, and that's why you like it. Because the people that come in, you know, they're selling shit probably because they're desperate. So now I start to watch the show and try to figure out, okay, is he a cokehead? Is he a cracky? You know, try to figure out the backstory of the people selling their grandfather's collection of buttons from.
Because you get the worst deal, and they know what they're doing. A, B, if they know you don't know what you're doing, you're getting ripped off. You know, you don't know what you're fucking selling there. It's like, here's gold, $5. It's like, how about a negotiation? It's like, where the fuck do you think you are? It's $5 and you're going to take it because I can see you twitching.
Exactly.
And you're like, I am going to take it. Fuck you. I was at a pawn shop once. I got a drill, an electric drill. I ended up buying, like, from some garage sale down the street from my house, I bought a giant couch. And I didn't think it through, and I couldn't get this couch into my house with my friend. So we had to drill it outside. So I go into a pawn shop to get a drill. You walk in there, and you just smell desperation. And I'm on the winning side.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm still getting ripped off, too. Don't get me wrong, but not as bad as the seller. And you go in, you just smell like a lot of tears filled this room daily.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I've never been in a pawn shop, but
I don't know that I have.
It's dark.
I think I'm scared to go in.
It's seedy.
Yeah, I think I'm scared because the person behind the counter is not...
When you say behind the counter, behind the glass with the chicken wire.
Yeah, I mean, they're used to some seedy shit. They're used to like being on their guard. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a place where, you know, there's sunshine and happiness.
Oh, you know there's a weapon or two behind that glass, obviously.
I think I'm afraid to do something wrong, make like a false move. There was, you know, the street vendors, like a lot of it is on St. Mark's now. You know, you buy the rings and whatever.
Right.
A friend of mine, when we were in high school, you know, you try on the ring and everything, And if you don't know the rules, like if you hide your hand all of a sudden, or if you put your hand down, they think you're robbing them. They think that you're sneaking it into, and these are, you know, $20 rings or something.
Right.
They think you're sneaking it into the pocket. This guy took out a knife on her, like, show me the ring right now. You know, you can't make any moves, you know, like when you're playing poker, you can't put it on your lap. You can't put the cards on your lap, but nobody's, you know, taking out a knife. They'll get pissed. But I don't know. I feel like the pawn shop would be something like that.
Yeah, you walk into the pawn shop, they make you, you know, you have to wear short sleeves or roll up your sleeves.
Yeah.
Roll up your sleeves past this point. Yeah, you could just tell something's weird. And, you know, it's just part of that world where you wouldn't be surprised if it was pawn shop / bail bondsman.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
A checkout clerk at a supermarket in Britain's Channel Islands has been accidentally overcharging her customers. It seems her seat was so low that when she bent over to weigh fruits and vegetables, her ample breasts also hit the scale.
Ah.
So now, like, what? How did this make the news? Like, this, you just come back and say you were overcharged. But what a shame. She's ringing up carrots. You're paying for melons.
I can't believe anyone complained about that.
Right, yeah, right. Like, little boys, like, all of a sudden, I love carrots and celery. Like, oh, this is fruits and vegetables. We never sold more. Let me mention these, the websites to find out about Reverend Jen's productions and Faceboy's antics. Where would people go, would you say?
Well, you can go to revgen.com. I have a blog that's linked to it where I put whatever I'm doing up there. I'm also on Facebook, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. And Faceboy, how you doing?
I'm invisible.
Okay. Today, how are you doing 1 to 10?
I miss my girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Aww. Are you starting to talk about someone moving, or is this not?
We're
I know you're not going to move.
The plan from when we fell in love was we're going to do long distance for a year, and then talk about the move.
That's a long time of year.
Well,
it is. But it's you know, we're talking about a major life change.
Right.
And, you know, see if we get through the winter and we're still in love going through all that.
Does she get winter depression too?
I think so.
Okay.
Right, I know so. I didn't.
I wasn't. It's okay. I'm highly intelligent.
That I can be honest about everything. Yes, she gets winter depression also.
Is the year in April because she came for Keith's stand-up show for that weekend. And does that count as the year, or do you guys count it before?
I think that's when we're counting the year. Yeah. But maybe we should start it before. We'll talk about it tonight.
What if
on tonight's conversation?
What if people that had winter depression started doing winter sports, started skiing or whatnot? I guarantee neither of you ski, right?
No.
So look, it's not that I've skied, and I'm not good at any of that stuff.
I don't think so. I think more so it would be, instead of putting your money towards skiing, it would be putting your money towards going to miss winter. Like 3 months out of the year, you're not here.
Well, that's a little more expensive.
I'd probably be into skiing if my first experience wasn't so horrendous. I was in college in Massachusetts in the Berkshires, which is a great area for skiing. And my roommate, Owen, was like, let's go skiing. And I was like, sure, what the hell? And I'm picturing, you know, woo, down the hill. And it was cross-country skiing.
Oh, that's not skiing.
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like harder than walking through snow. It was just, and he's like, yeah, you just got to put all your body into it and move through the snow, and it's really fun. And it's like, this is not fucking fun. This is torture, and I hate it.
You know what they did? They said, we're going to go skiing. They took you to a ski museum.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate
And we're
skiing.
In the Berkshires. I could have gone, you know, down. I could have had a fun experience skiing, but now I'm just not interested.
I don't find skiing fun at all.
You tried it?
Really? You've done real skiing?
Yeah. Too many clothes, too much snow.
Yeah, Face, I don't know that you'd enjoy it, but I'll tell you what. We went, what do you call that?
Tubing.
Tubing. Snow tubing. Tons of fun.
Yeah.
Because you get carried up the hill, just like anything else.
Like,
and then
the
you just
morbidly obese.
Tube. And then you just tube down. So all you have to do is sit or lay.
Like,
you know,
the morbidly obese.
I want a snow tube.
It's very fun. I want to put together another trip.
Let's
where
do
everyone
it.
Goes.
I'm
yeah.
all over that.
Yeah, it was really fun because we had a house and a bunch of people could fit in it. And it's a really good trip.
I'll bring the beads.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine,
you're
going
to have to extract them first.
You do one commercial. You put anal beads up your ass. I never. Well, thank you guys very much. Rev Jen and Faceboy.
Delightful.
Thank you.
Let me say this show is brought to you by PickAnExcuse.com, the iPhone app. PickAnExcuse.com has over, take a guess, Faceboy. 1,000. It could be a billion now. Excuses for any occasion. It could be. What's your excuse for not downloading it? It's free. Go to PickAnExcuse.com and download it now. That's all I can tell you. We'll see you guys tomorrow. KeithAndTheGirl.com.